Sports Central. AFL.
In about 20 minutes' time, we will head to the Ted Summerton Recreational Reserve in Maui for the Richmond and Collingwood clash. Matt Granlin and Terry Wallace to call all the action. That one between the Tigers and the Pies should be a beauty too to finish up the JLT weekend and the pre-season series. But let's talk with Nick Bowen now from AFL.com.au about what's going on in the world of AFL as we head towards round one and finish this pre-season competition off. Hello, Nick.
G'day, Kev. Getting close now, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is getting exciting now. We stopped dancing with our sister and we're now going to do the real thing.
No, exactly right. And I think this last week of the pre-season games, you see a lot of the sides are really picking teams that if they're not, you know, they're not exactly their round one team, but they're pretty close to it. And I think that they're probably tweaking those last few positions in the side. And the only guys missing are those ones who are really in that last minute of battle to be fit for round one.
And the messages we're getting from the clubs are exactly that, isn't it, in this last for this weekend and heading into next week, is that, yeah, we're serious. We've had a look at who we wanted to have a look at. We've checked out who's not had a, you know, 100% pre-season. We pretty much know what we're going to do week one.
Exactly right. I mean, Carlton were, I suppose, a team that copped flak for playing a pretty weak side last weekend, but you know, when they had the six-day break and a trip over to Perth this week, it's perfectly understandable. They wanted to play all their senior guys this week. And, you know, they certainly looked a much better sort of outfit last night. So it really, I think most of them factor in that, you know, with the senior blokes, they're probably only wanting to play them two out of the three JLT games. But, you know, the one that they really like to pencil in is that last one, just to have them, I suppose, you know, really tuning up for round one, given that, you know, next weekend's obviously free. Some guys will play some of the VFL practice matches. I think I saw Dom Tyson, you know, played Thursday night with the D's against West Coast, but he's looking to get in a practice game next week as well because he's coming back from that's a knee injury he suffered during the pre-season. So it's really everyone's really sort of gearing up towards round one now.
What have you taken out of it? What's been the highlight, the big positive for you in terms of what you're looking forward to based on what you've seen in the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think it's great to see it's great to see a lot of the key players in the league sort of coming into, you know, getting back to sort of full fitness. You know, Nat Fyfe, I think, has really sort of started to gear up his preparation. He looked great last night. You know, he's had those two left leg fractures that have pretty much wiped him out since the 2015 sort of final. So I hate seeing our best sort of players, you know, out of the game, sidelines. It'll be really exciting to sort of see him back. We saw Gazza get back for the Suns Thursday night as well against the Dogs. And, you know, he eased himself back into it with a lazy sort of 22 and a couple of goals. So he looks pretty good. I mean, I don't think anyone was genuinely, you know, concerned that the Bont was going to have, you know, a massive sort of injury-interrupted season. But, you know, he's had his niggles this pre-season, so it was also good to see him get out there on Thursday night and rack up sort of 25. So, I mean, I think he, for me, is one of the most exciting young players in the comp. And, you know, if he's not already up in the very uppermost brackets of the elite, I reckon he'll get there this year. So I think for me, Kev, it's been great to see some of these guys coming back and getting back into full fitness, because I think at the end of the day, that's what sides want, to get through these things or get through the pre-season unscathed, get game time into their best players and be ready to roll when the real stuff rolls around.
You know, Nick, if you could throw Fyfe, Gazza and Ruffy into any competition, you know, the equivalent three players in any competition in the world, you'd be sitting back if you were the organisers clapping your hands, wouldn't you?
Oh, exactly right. Yeah, and you mentioned Ruffy. I think that's been probably the best story of the pre-season. And it's happened really quickly. I think that, you know, it was really only December that we heard he had the all clear from his, you know, his second bout with melanoma, and I think that was the first thing that we're really relieved about, playing an absolute bonus from there. But he has looked, you know, he's looked really, he's slotted back in pretty sort of seamlessly. He's playing that role where primarily forward, as we know that he's going to be so important to the Hawks' structure, but that ability to, you know, at 193 to pinch hit through the midfield and win clearances. He's a really natural clearance winner. He's just sort of fantastic. So, you know, for the Hawks to have him back, as skipper, you know, really does give them a shot in the arm in a season where I think, you know, there's a lot up in the air for them. We really don't know how they're going to go. For the first time in a long while, some people are thinking they may miss the finals. So to have Roughhead there will really shore things up.
What do you make of the Hodge situation? Given what you've just said about Ruffy's importance and the skipper and all that stuff, what do you make out of that one?
A really strange one, Kev. I think that, you know, the information I've got is that, you know, there was nothing, you know, I know it's easy to sort of jump to conclusions in these things, but it's not been an alcohol-related incident or anything like that.
Which is what we all thought, let's be honest.
Oh, exactly right. I mean, there was sort of talk about, you know, like a function on the Sunday, and it was a Monday training session that he missed. So, you know, that sort of rolls in pretty easily, doesn't it? Sunday function, okay.
Yep.
He's overindulged, missed Monday. But as I understand it, and I'm reliably informed, and I take it at face value, that wasn't the case. He's had some personal things to deal with on the Monday. There was some level of communication with people at the club that he wouldn't be able to make training, but he didn't, I suppose, go through the official channels. He's missed training. He hasn't let the club know. And you know, rightly, I suppose that you know, he's certainly got no issue with the fact that they've clamped down on him. I think the fact, Kev, that he had the indiscretion ahead of the 2015 finals where he got done for drink driving certainly hasn't helped his cause.
Yep.
So that probably, this sort of misdemeanour, you know, for the new leadership group, for Ruffy as captain, great mates with Hodgie, it's probably one really easy way to show the group, look, this is a new regime, we're not copping any of this sort of rubbish. It's a big penalty, though, missing Hodgie from round one, so they wouldn't have done that lightly, but I think it really does send a very clear signal to the rest of the group that any sort of disciplinary lapses won't be tolerated. So
that's a backo in the sand. Statement. That's not a line in the sand. That's a big backo being dredged across the sand.
Yeah, no,
it's about
really
a 6-foot deep line, that one. We'll see how that pans out.
But again, we go back to the Hodge one where he got the drink driving and there was the ban, Kevin. He didn't get suspended for any of those finals, which is understandable. Yep. But I think a lot of us at the time thought, you know, they've really hit him with the feather duster there. So they've sort of put the feather duster back in the cupboard and got out the cat of nine tails for this one. So Hodgie won't forget this little indiscretion.
Hey, Nick, is there a team that you're excited about based on what you've seen in the last 3 or 4 weeks, or maybe, you know, that's ticked the box that you thought was going to be good anyway?
You know what, Kev? I reckon I'm excited about so many teams because, to me, there's so many unknowns with you know, I reckon there's probably about 10, almost 12 teams I could see finishing anywhere from, you know, fifth and having a, you know, like a perfect run, you know, a shot at being in the top four, but also that equally could finish down to 12th to sort of 14th. So that to me is really, really exciting. Probably the two teams that I think there's a bit of buzz about that I'm really keen to see how they go are Melbourne and St Kilda. I think that, you know, the football planets are aligned for them this year. They've put in the, you know, the patience of the rebuilds. They've gone through the draft. They've picked up some good trades, some experienced guys that will complement those youngsters. So really looking forward to seeing what those two teams can do this year. And look, I think the acid's certainly on them for the first time in a while, because I think that for both of them, anything less than finals will be a severe disappointment. But I honestly think they both can make it and both probably should make it.
And are you as excited about this season as any other that you've been involved with, Nick, since you know, you started following footy as a kid?
Look, I think it's a different level of excitement once you're sort of adult, isn't it? I think that there's the, and especially once you work in the industry, you know, I think that with a kid, it's really your own team. It's all about your own team, isn't it? But I think that, you know, overall, I'm probably as excited as I've been for ages. I think that, you know, as I said, that there's so many teams that I think are in the running with, and a lot of them will need a good start. They'll need a lot of things to go right, a good run with injury. But I think there's most teams in the comp, you know, supporters should be, I think, eyeing the season with a great deal of optimism. And I reckon that's fantastic. And even those teams like perhaps Carlton and the Lions are the two I'm pretty confident won't make the eight. I think that they can still, enjoy really positive seasons by getting some games into the kids and showing some signs that, you know, say in 2-3 years' time that they'll be in that position to really challenge for finals again.
And just remember, round one is only worth 4 points. Not 16, not 24. It's actually only worth 4 points.
Wasn't it Malcolm Blight, I think, who used to say the season's a marathon? So, you know, after the Cats, I remember, you know, might have had a bad sort of loss or whatever. You know, just injected a little bit of reality. Okay, yes, we would have preferred to have won, but it is only, as you say, only the one win, only worth 4 points. And if you've geared up to, I suppose, overdone it at the start of the season and hit round one, you know, absolutely flying, generally there's that lull later on in the season. So there is a little bit of give and take.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, Nick. Enjoy the rest of your long weekend.
Thanks, Kev. You too.